can, if some spiritual teachers are not connected with any Vaishnava Sampradaya, and in fact they sometimes even criticize the Vaishnava Sampradayas, but they are philosophically having a, they are philosophically well versed, and if they talk about Madhuri, they teach Madhuri Bhakti, Sadhana and Madhuri Bhakti and Madhuri Bhav, then how do we understand the position of such teachers? Answer, first of all, there is always this conflict that comes when there is any form of institutionalization. The four sampradayas are also a form of institutionalization. And whenever there is institutionalization, there is the danger that one just sticks to the forms, external structures of the institution and forgets the inner essence. Ultimately, the sampradayas are meant to help us develop our devotion. And it is not that just automatically by affiliating with a particular sampradaya, one will go back to Krishna. Nor is it that somebody who is not connected with any sampradaya has no hope of going back to God. Srila Prabhupada was so inclusive that on an American TV show, when he was positioned he was having a discussion with a Christian preacher, and the Christian preacher was saying that Jesus is the only way to God. And Prabhupada said, no. So Prabhupada was asked that, will anyone who follows the Bible go back to God? Prabhupada said, any scripture. It is not that you have to follow only our way. This was on the Les Crane show, and Mukund Maharaj was there with Prabhupada at that time. And he writes about this in his book, Miracle in the Second Avenue. So, the point here is that our tradition is inclusive. And we understand that as far as our practice is concerned, we focus on practicing bhakti as has been taught by our acharyas. But does that mean that nobody who follows bhakti in a way different from what our acharyas have taught, that person can never make any advancement in bhakti? It's not necessary. It is not our position to judge. And our position is to grow ourselves in our bhakti. And we should know that bhakti is independent. So it is not that bhakti, we can restrict bhakti only to these four sampradayas. So the point is, when it is said in the particular Padma Purana verses there, which talks about the four sampradayas. So the important thing of that is that these four sampradayas are the standard ways. But that does not mean these are the only ways. For example, if somebody has practiced some bhakti in a previous life, and that person is born in this life, now the bhakti can continue in this life just by association with some devotees. And that person may not necessarily affiliate oneself with bhakti, with some particular sampradaya in this life. So, wherever we see attraction to the Lord, wherever we see devotion, we appreciate that. And sometimes some teachers may criticize the four sampradayas because there might be too much of, sometimes within the sampradayas also, institutionalization can become too strong and the essence of bhakti may be lost. But it's also possible that when a particular person criticizes the four sampradayas, that may just be because of wanting for oneself the power and prestige that the four sampradayas have, and wanting to minimize the sampradayas so that power and prestige can come to oneself also. So rather than judging a person only based on whatever kind of statements the person is making, we understand these two different principles. That for us, we have become connected with Krishna through a particular sampradaya. So we follow the acharya of our sampradaya, we follow what is taught in our tradition, and we will grow spiritually according to that tradition. So others, there may be other ways in which they can grow. It's like there are different universities, and people learn in the universities. People learn in different universities, and they grow by learning through different universities. But sometimes some people may not be connected with any university, and still they may also learn. And what is, and that way they may also become learners. So we don't have to necessarily reject that possibility. But our emphasis should always be on recognizing the broad principle that the going through sampradayas is the safe way. It is the authorized way. And Bhakti Devi, by her mercy, may be available through other paths also. It's not that Bhakti is permanently barred for anyone outside the four sampradayas. But whether Bhakti is properly accessible or not, that is debatable. So we should be focused on the broad principle that people can advance. And in general, it is safer to, much, much safer to be within the four sampradayas. But where people find it, if there is some genuine bhakti outside the four sampradayas, then rather than rejecting it just because of it not being present within a particular institution, we have to see that Bhakti Devi is independent and she can manifest. But that is not, the attitude is important. Bhakti Devi's independence, when we talk about that, we are respecting Bhakti. But the principle of Bhakti is also subordinating ourselves to Guru. Adav Guru Pada Ashraya, as Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Sambhav Sindhu. So, if one is by circumstance or by situation so deeply attracted to Krishna, then that is different. But if someone wants to deliberately defy the authority of Guru, or doesn't want to submit to any Guru, doesn't want to submit to any tradition, and he wants to maintain one's defiance while practicing bhakti, then that will be an obstacle. So by looking at the particular situation, we may have to see what a particular teacher's or a particular follower's attitude is, and then come to a particular understanding, rather than just broadly labeling an entire group of people as good or bad. We can focus on this more subtle and nuanced approach. Thank you.